Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
And we have also with us a special guest today that I'm excited to hear from and talk to. And I believe Keith is going to introduce Mike to us today. So Keith, introduce to our audience our guest today.
All right, Mike, thank you so much for leading us through this time together. It's my honor to introduce everybody to Pastor Mike Stone from Emmanuel Baptist Church in Blackshear, Georgia. He's been a great friend of mine for over 20 years and even one of the first men God used in a moment of need and crisis in my life to step in when I resigned as a pastor. Probably the first man to even invest in a different way than I've received before, just helping us navigate that season. Always have been a good friend, loved his preaching. Every time we're in South Georgia, we go to Mike's church to hear him preach and just know that the scriptures are going to be taught. The church is going to be lively. The choir is going to sing and we're going to worship the Lord. And so I just love him and his family. He's just been a great friend. So Mike, it's great to have you today, brother.
Yes, it is.
Man, it's a privilege to be with you guys. Keith, I have been so grateful over the years, how God has used you and Nicole, not only with the teaching that you do, investing in men, and in Nicole's case, investing in the lives of ladies, but the example that you set, raising that house full of kids that the Lord has blessed you with, you have always been such an encouragement, both by instruction and example, and it's an honor to be with you guys.
Thank you, brother. What we're going to do is talk about the fear of man, and I know as we deal with that, our major focus is helping men win their relationship with God, their family, and their church. And, you know, the passage that tells us that the fear of man brings a snare, but he who puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And, you know, you've led in different areas and capacities as a leader of churches, but, you know, primarily your relationship with the Lord and your family. I've watched you navigate various things, even recently with your daughter, and just the challenges that we face and making decisions and, you know, the pressure that may come from a culture that doesn't understand biblical leadership. I've watched you just be faithful in those areas. So first question I want to ask, let you two guys kind of bounce back and forth on this, is you know, think about this and man's relationship with God living before an audience of one. The fear of man begins where the fear of God is absent. And I think we must return to a high view of God and to walk faithfully as men of God. But the question is, have each of you seen the fear of man erode a man's personal walk with God? And then what does it look like when a man truly lives out of the fear of God? So maybe unpack that a little bit for a few moments there, Mike.
Yeah, I really believe that every man is going to fear something. It was Bob Dylan who years ago had a song called "You Gotta Serve Somebody." And every man is going to fear someone. You're either going to fear God or you're going to fear man. Yeah. And you can't fear both at the same time. And the scriptures say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that word beginning doesn't merely or even primarily mean that it's the starting point. It means it's the fountain or the source. Yeah. When I've taught on this principle, I've said, if you imagine wisdom is a house, the fear of the Lord is not the door that's the beginning or the entry point. The fear of the Lord is the foundation. It's the concrete slab upon which everything else rests. And if you don't get the fear of the Lord right, then nothing else is going to fall into place. When you see a man, and even when it's the man in the mirror, fearing other men, the approval of man, the applause of man, the affirmation of the world, it's at that same point and to that same extent, he's at least momentarily taking his eyes off of the Lord, doesn't see God rightly, and doesn't have a holy reverential fear of the Lord. It's a humorous example that came to me years ago when I was chaplain of our high school football team. And kids who, you know, were from our church and even from other churches that I knew were, you know, they're from godly families and Bible-believing churches. Man, they get on the bus or in the locker room and they use language that would make a sailor blush. And every time they would turn around and see me standing there, the chaplain of the football team, they would, without exception, apologize. And I began to realize, and I began teaching these young men, that when you're apologizing to me that I heard something that a holy God heard, you've got way too high a view of me and way too low a view of God.
Wow.
And But when I find myself growing fearful of the approval of men, the answer is not to care less about what others think. The answer is to press in to care more about what God knows and what God thinks, if we use that word, about my life. And not to try to eschew the approval of men, but to pursue the approval and favor of God.
Yeah. Amen.
That's good.
You know, living from that core, I think, you know, that's where everything else could come alive as a husband, as a father. And then, you know, in your context, not only that, but also, you know, as a pastor of a church and, you know, influence on the football team and other areas, you've also served in the state of Georgia there and also across the country. Mike Spivey, you got anything you want to share about that, even from your role as a man?
Yeah, I think it's funny. You're right, Mike, that I've had so many people I pull up on will hide their beer from me or put their cigarette behind their back. And they'll say things like, excuse me, preacher. You know, but I think to add to that, to how does that affect a man's walk with the Lord? And, you know, the second part of that question, what does it look like when a man truly lives in the fear of God? I don't know. I heard this morning on a podcast, when you quote something multiple times, it eventually becomes yours, right? So the first time you quote it, second time you say, I've heard this. And then the third time you will say, I've always said this. So I'm just telling you up front, this is not me, but I can't remember where I heard it from. But somebody once said, fearing God is taking him seriously. And I think that's where a lot of men fall short, especially. I'm seeing this play out with some of the men in my context, is that there's a lot of people just don't take them seriously. They don't take sin seriously. They don't take holiness seriously. And I'm preaching through the Sermon on the Mount right now. And chapter 7 in Matthew is all about judgment. It's all in red letters. And I don't think people really, you're not going to hear the smiley guy on TV with the nice teeth and nice hair talk about sin and holiness and judgment. But Jesus is talking about judgment. If a man doesn't bear fruit, he's, you know, that tree is thrown into the fire. And everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, you're in the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about judgment there. And it's serious stuff that men don't take God seriously. There's a judgment coming. There's a standing before the Lord and giving an account. And I think we live our lives, as Mike said, with the fear of man and not the fear of God. I've heard one time that somebody said, if you live for the applause of man, you'll never be applauded enough. You're never going to be clapped enough. You're never going to be applauded enough. And then that, you're right, that brings a snare to how people live. My concern is living for the approval and the pleasure of man and not for the approval and pleasure of God that we already have in Christ Jesus. We're working that out of us, what's been worked in us, right? So it does. It brings a snare and brings a trap to man. So.
And Mike, one of the reasons it's so empty, because as a believer, if a man truly is a man of God, truly converted, the Holy Spirit resides inside of him. And so you get to the end of a day where the altars may have been filled, the decision cards may have, you know, been plenty of them. Everybody's patting you on the back as a pastor or a preacher or whatever context a man may work. And you get home, though, and despite the approval of men, you lay your head down on your pillow and the Spirit of God lets you know that he does not approve of what you did that day, or perhaps does not approve of because of some things that you failed to do that day. And there's a conviction, a restlessness that comes with the heart of a true believer. And that's where you find out that the applause of men was absolutely vanity, completely worthless.
Amen. Which leads to the second question we want to talk about today, and probably the next segment would deal with family. And, you know, we're living in a culture that is rapidly changing, moving at a rapid pace. The lack of spiritual leadership from husbands and fathers are playing out in ways I think we probably all would never have thought we'd seen in our lifetime. And I just want you to speak to that from, you know, being a husband and also being a father and probably being what some would say you're abnormal, but when you look at scripture, you're more normal into God's design. So when you lead a wife and protect a wife, and when you shepherd and tend to and take care of and raise children, are there things that, you know, if you're not careful, the fear of man will put you into place, whether it's, you know, how do you navigate the dating relationships? How do you navigate curfew? What do you do with your kids in terms of what they participate in or don't participate in? Maybe speak to that. You know, I think we've talked several times about being a husband and a father together. So share some of your insight over the years you've learned.
Yeah, the idea of the fear of man, that affects parenting and serving as a husband. But if I focus on the parenting side for just a moment, many of the principles that I try to teach about being a godly father and the priest and shepherd of the home, the pushback that I've gotten through the years from Christian men, I think is ultimately rooted in pride. Because if our children are going to be different from the world, and I don't mean isolated from the world or insulated, but I do mean separated. If our kids are going to be different from the world, everything from our view of dating and romantic relationships, cell phone usage, media consumption, both in its quantity and in its type, I sense from a lot of men what they really don't want is they don't want the parents of their kids' friends to think that they, the dad, is weird. It's right. Dad's desire to fit in, that I don't want my child to be the only one at the school that doesn't have a cell phone in the third grade. I don't want my kid to be the only one that's 13 years old and doesn't already have a steady girlfriend that they're in this supposedly committed relationship in the eighth grade. And oftentimes it's rooted in the pride in a man's heart because he doesn't want his kids to be seen as abnormal or different because he doesn't want to be seen as abnormal or different. And the common question I ask these men, you're worried your child is not going to grow up normal. Have you seen normal lately?
Define normal.
If you look at what is normative in the culture, why would any man of God want his son or daughter to grow up to be normal, to fit into that? Some years ago, I was in a conversation related to homeschooling, and with our children, we've homeschooled in private Christian school and even some in public school, so that's not the argument today. But someone who was really opposed to homeschooling said, your kids are not going to grow up prepared for this life. They're not going to grow up prepared for this world. You know, it's the common argument that they're not going to be properly socialized. And the response I heard from one very wise pastor was, well, they may not be as prepared for this world, but they sure are going to be prepared for the world to come.
Wow, man.
And that's the world that we need to have in view.
Yeah.
As husbands and fathers, which was the essence of your question, that I parent not for the approval of the people at the PTA meeting, not even for the approval of the other people in my church. While I love the other people in my church, some of the biggest pushback that a man of God can get when he tries to husband and shepherd his children according to the principles of God, some of the biggest pushback can come from your Sunday school class or from the men's ministry at your church. And so you have to just be driven by the fact that I am parenting for that audience of one. And if God be pleased, that's what I'm aiming for, shooting for.
Praise God.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you. We want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.
You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.